Now, I know we've missed a week or two, but this is the final session in the journeyings of the children through the wilderness. And the subject matter for this morning is preparing to enter the promised land, a new chapter and a new leader. The readings are kind of extensive, but I think some of them are important for us to read, and one or two others that are not on the list I would just like to catch as well. So we're going to read first in Exodus 17, and verse number 8, Exodus 17. This is echoing a bit. Does everybody hear that? Or is it just me that hears it? No, I wonder if this could go down slightly. It's kind of echoing this morning. Or was it not? Is it only me?
No, it is echoing.
Okay. So, Exodus 17 and 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now Numbers 27, Numbers 27. And verse number 12, and the Lord said to Moses, get thee up into this mount Abarim, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For you rebelled against my commandments in the desert of Zin, in a strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. That is the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honour upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him, and gave him a charge, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. Deuteronomy 34. Verse 5, just for the sake of time. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Now, Joshua chapter 1, and verse 8. Maybe read from verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to that reading of his word. Now let me first of all apologise for giving out a hymn that had already been given out this morning. My brain must be seriously addled. As you know, I've got clothes everywhere and I don't know where I'm staying next week. So you'll just excuse that little mistake. But it was a nice hymn that Mark gave out. Bert quoted a verse from it and it just triggered it in my mind again. But at least we got a different tune, so we weren't quite so bad. So apologies for that. I maybe should stop doing that altogether. Now, there's a lot of ground to cover here this morning. Preparing to enter the Promised Land and the new chapter in their history and the new leader. And we will refer to a lot of scriptures, so you'll either need to keep a note of them and verify my assertions afterwards, or have a very good memory that will enable you just to keep them on the way. I want to think just a little bit about some issues and the background to where we are for a little while. But broadly speaking, the passages before us are about the handing over of leadership from Moses to Joshua. But there are a number of just background issues that are worth just stating here before we get into the detail. And that is that we are in these chapters that we've been reading, particularly Numbers and Deuteronomy and in Joshua, we are at the end of the 40 years of the wanderings. So they've served their sentence, the people. A sentence that was brought on by their own failure, of course. The Lord saying to them, for every day that the spies spent in the land and brought back their evil report, you'll spend a year in the wilderness. So their own lack of faith and their own failure resulted in that 40 years of wandering. And we've come to the end of that. And they're on the brink of entering the Promised Land. Moses is about to die. He's 120 years old, and he's about to die. His sight was not dimmed, you know, and his brain wasn't addled like mine, I suppose. But he's about to go, and the Lord's going to take him and bury him in the mount on the land of Moab, on the other side of Jordan, you know, before they cross the Promised Land. And Joshua is about to be installed as a leader. So Moses is just about to hand over the baton, and it's being handed over to Joshua. Now, of course, we do understand that the wilderness and the Promised Land, in a sense, are one and the same thing. And that is that they both represent the experience of God's people. The one is not earth and the other heaven, as far as we are concerned today, if we begin to apply it to our circumstances. It's not that in the wilderness we're on earth and in the Promised Land we're in heaven. In the wilderness and in the Promised Land, we're in the midst of our experiences here in this world. In the one hand, we're battling against our failures, and we're struggling, living in the world with all of the enemies that are about, and you know, and we are struggling with our own failure. And in the other, we are trying to enter into what God has given us and made available for us. But both the wilderness and the promised land are representative of the experiences of God's people in the world while living in the flesh. You know, 1 Corinthians speaks about, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now that's not referring to our inheritance in the glory. That's referring to what God has available for us today. Inasmuch as he wants to bless us today, inasmuch as he wants us to enter into the real enjoyment of our spiritual life and experience, and to move fully into fellowship with him and to enjoy him in that deep sense. And so the wilderness and the promised land are both representative of experiences of God's people here. And we can either wander in the wilderness or we can enter into the promised land. We can either spend our time just scrabbling about in the wilderness with no direction and not sure where we're going and murmuring and groaning and moaning all the time, or we can enter into the promised land and enjoy the blessings that God has given to his people and prepared for them. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time there. We don't have a great deal of time. The more I thought about this, I thought this is a week's meetings rather than a one session. But there are two things that seem to me critical in terms of our enjoyment of the promised land. You know, can we enjoy heaven's blessings now? Can we enjoy full fellowship with God now? Can we enjoy the presence of Christ now and really enter into the blessings that Ephesians 1 speaks about? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Can we enjoy that now? And it seems to me that the children of Israel needed to understand two things. And one of them we've been hearing about all the time, almost in every session that we've had. We've heard about this business about their lack of faith. Kevin started it right at the beginning, their lack of faith. You know, the Lord's saying, I've given you a land. I've given you a land. And I'll drive the folks out before you. And all it needs is for you just to trust me. That's all it needs. And it seems that it was their lack of faith in him and in his abilities that resulted in their lack of entrance into everything that God had for them. But of course, the second thing that is necessary is that in that promised land, on this side of Jordan, if you like, they had to deal with the enemies that presented themselves. And they came across it again and again and again, where they refused to deal wholesale with the enemies that were in the land. And that affected their enjoyment of God's blessings and God's promises. And it seems to me that for us to really enjoy what God has provided for us in its fullest sense, it needs these two things. It needs for us to have faith in him. You know, just to trust him. In all the circumstances of life and whatever's going on around us, just to trust him that what he says in his book is true, that all things work together for good to them that love him. Not that every circumstance is good for us, but in the background, he is working for our ultimate blessing and for our ultimate good, and all he asks is that we just trust him. And that we deal in a deliberate sense with the enemies that are around us. And scripture, New Testament scripture, is full of the issues about us dealing with the enemies. And dealing with them in a very deliberate and forthright sense. And Paul speaks in terms about mortifying therefore the deeds of the body. You know. And if we are going to enjoy him in its fullest sense and enter into everything that he has promised for us, then it's about our faith in him, and it's about the way in which we are going to deal with the enemies that are around us. Deal with our flesh. Deal with the world. Deal with the devil. And it's about the way in which we will deliberately and actively deal with them and move forward with faith in him. Now there is a sense too in which Joshua and Moses are both men for their own time. You know, people would say that Winston Churchill was a man for the time. He wasn't a peacetime prime minister, but he was a wartime prime minister. And there is a sense in which both Moses and Joshua were men for the moment. And they both left a huge legacy. And we read about Moses' legacy, really, when you come to Deuteronomy 34. You know, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. What a wonderful testimony. Whom the Lord knew face to face. And there was never a prophet like him, either before or since. There's not been a prophet like him, according to Deuteronomy 34. And so he left a legacy that was huge for the people of God. But because of his own failure, he was not able to take God's people to where they needed to go. And he was unable to take God's people into the promised land. And because of his failure, he was unable to take the people into the full blessing that God had prepared for them. And I have to recognize that as far as my generation is concerned, it may just be that because of our failure, we've not been able to take God's people to where God wanted them to be. And we've not been able to take God's people into the full glory of the blessings that God has for his people. But Moses was a man for the moment. And arguably Joshua would never have been able to deal with the wilderness conditions. But Moses was able to do that. But the tragedy is that because of his own failure, he was unable to take the people to everything that God had prepared for them. Now I'm looking at my own generation. And history will record. And only history will record whether we've been able to take God's people into everything that God has prepared for them. What is clear in Israel's history is that it was the next generation that were going to enter into all the blessings that God had prepared for his people. You come to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verses number 38 and 39. I'm just going to read that. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verses 38 and 39, if I can find them here. You know. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes. Moses speaking, saying, thou shalt not go thither, but Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which he said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. And so it was the next generation that were going to enjoy everything that God had for his people in the promised land. Now that's a challenge to me, brethren and sisters. That's a huge challenge to me. As we look back over our experience and over our life and how we've moved amongst God's people as to whether or not we've been able to take them into everything that God has for them. But there are opportunities from now on. And there's a new generation, and God says of that new generation in Israel, they will inherit it. And Joshua will take them there. I've spoken before about Elisha and Elijah. And it's Elisha that gets a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And arguably, Elisha was a greater man than Elijah was. And so that's the issue about entering into the promised land. And for me and my generation, that has to be the challenge. And what Moses is charged with doing thereafter is to ensure that there is leadership in place that will enable that inheritance to be obtained. And so the passages before us are in great measure about Moses ensuring that that new leadership is in place under God's hand. And so I want us to think about that issue, the succession from Moses to Joshua. A new chapter and a new leader. And it's that new leader that's going to take them into the promised land. I want to think about three things with you. I want to think about what Moses did for Joshua to prepare him. I want to think about what Joshua did for himself to prepare himself. And I want to think about what Joshua had to be before he took on the role that Moses was handing over to him. So what Moses did for Joshua to help to prepare him. What Joshua did for himself to prepare him. And what Joshua had to be as a man to deal with what we're going to face. So what Moses did for Joshua. Now, my brother and also, oh, bear with me, but I'm talking to the older generation here. You know. We'll come to the younger generation in a moment or two, so just gonna go to sleep. What Moses did for Joshua. Moses and Joshua, on record at least, had 40 years or 41 years together. That's why I read Exodus 17. You read about Joshua first in Exodus 17, Numbers chapter 11. First mentions of Joshua. And that was in about 1491 BC. When Moses died and the role was handed over to Joshua, it was about 1450 BC. And so here is Joshua and Moses, and it seems as if they had around that 40 years together. It was a kind of mentoring relationship, to use modern parlance. Moses and Joshua. Joshua is called in Exodus 24, I think. Joshua is called Moses' attendant. The man that stood alongside him and helped him and went with him. Moses' attendant. I don't know whether you would call him his PA or not. I don't think so. There was more to it than that. But they had 40 years together. And Moses did a number of things for Joshua. And they're in a bundle of chapters in Exodus and in Numbers. And I just want to mention, and I don't have time other than to mention them. You'll need to go away and verify what I'm saying here, you know. But it needs to be proved. We first come across him in Exodus 17, and it's Amalek, and they've come to make war with Israel. And Moses says to Joshua, go look out some men, and you go fight with Amalek, and I'll go up in the mountain. I want to say that what Moses did was, first of all, to involve Joshua in his decision-making process. Joshua, go choose out some men. We've a battle to fight. We need some men to fight it. And I'll go up on the mountain. And he involved him in the decision-making process. Secondly, I want you to notice that he gave him responsibility. Now, I don't know what age Joshua was. The brother will maybe be able to help me. But Moses must have been about 80 at the time. But he gave him responsibility. I want you to notice, he didn't just give him a wee job to do. He gave him responsibility. He didn't say to Joshua, go and find X, Y, Z, and name the names. He said to him, go and choose men. And go and fight with Amalek. And so he gave him serious responsibility. Moses did not stage manage the campaign for Joshua. He let him take the campaign on himself and the responsibility for that campaign and choosing the men to go with him in the process. So he gave him responsibility. He also shared God's communication with him, because in Exodus 17 you will discover that the Lord says, rehearse this in the ears of Joshua. So what I'm telling you, Moses, I want you to tell Joshua as well. Rehearse it in his ears. And so he shared God's communication with Joshua. Now there's a challenge, brethren. For those that are following on in our footsteps, to enable them the opportunity to take responsibility and to share what we understand of God's communication with them. And this was a serious one-to-one relationship. This was a Paul and Timothy relationship. This was an Elijah and Elisha relationship. This was Moses and Joshua. And the old man was sharing with this young man everything that he knew about God's ways and what God was saying, and gave him the opportunity to take on the responsibility for himself. The second thing I notice when I come to Exodus 24 is that Moses took Joshua into God's presence with him. There were 70 elders that were left at the bottom of the mountain, and Aaron and Hur were left at the bottom of the mountain. And Moses took Joshua with him up into the mountain. Now, I don't know whether Moses took Joshua all the way or not, but he took him a fair way. He took him a fair way. He took him at least until Moses himself was enveloped in the cloud. Now, whether Joshua went into the cloud with him or not, I don't know. But he certainly took him as far as the edge of the cloud. And so he took him into God's presence with him. And he shared that presence with Joshua. Moses and Joshua together in the mountain with God. I don't need to apply that. You then come to Exodus 32, and Moses taught Joshua to read the signs amongst the people. Now Joshua was misreading the signs. You remember when they came down from the mountain, Joshua said, oh, there's a war on. Listen to the noise. There's a war on. No, Moses says, that's not a war. That's the sound of singing. And so Joshua was misreading the signs, you see. He was inexperienced. And he didn't quite sense what was happening amongst the people. He hadn't learned to read the noise of the camp. But Moses could read the noise of the camp. And Moses knew what the signs were. And for those older brethren who know the signs and have read the signs over the decades of time, it's important that you inculcate into the younger folks an understanding of these signs, to read what's happening among God's people, and to understand what when something happens, what does that mean? Because you've been there before, you see. And it's about handing that on and teaching them to read the signs. Then you come to Numbers 27. I'm running out of time here. You come to Numbers 27. And you discover that what he does then is he identifies him as the next leader. He formally identifies Joshua as the next leader. He says to the people, this is the man. This is him. Here is the man that under God's hand will lead you out and will lead you in, that will cause you to inherit the land. This is the man. And he identified him. And the man that was in touch with God looked out the man that was going to follow him, and he formally identified him to the people, and he brought him before the people and stood him before Eleazar the priest and said to Eleazar the priest, now you get counsel for this man, because this is the man. So he identified him. He gave him his blessing because he laid his hands upon him, and he gave him some of his honour. Now maybe the brethren will put me right with this one. What did that mean? He gave him some of his honour. I think what that means is this. that Moses saw in Joshua the kind of character that would mean that the people would give him the same respect as they had given Moses. And he saw in him a character that was akin to his own, and it would require and it would justify and it would demand the respect of the people in the same way as Moses had their respect. And he gave him some of his honour. And so it's about the character of Joshua, really. And it's about identifying the man that's got the kind of character that the people of God will respect. So, that was what Moses did for Joshua. At least it was some of the things. I don't know. As you develop that, you might discover 100 other things that he did for him. But these are things that I see from Exodus 17, 24, 32 and Numbers 27. These are things that I see that Moses did for Joshua. Now I'm done beating myself over the back now. What did Joshua do to prepare himself? Our young men. What did Joshua do to prepare himself? First thing I notice about him, and it's in Exodus 24, is that Joshua stuck by Moses. That was the first thing I noticed. He stuck by Moses. When Moses moved out, Joshua moved with him. When Moses went to the mountain, Joshua went with him. And Joshua stuck by Moses. Now that's a good lesson, young men. I know you think that most of the old folks don't have the faintest idea of what's going on. I understand that. I've been there before, and I'm not that old that I can forget it, you know. And I know you think that we don't really have it, and that we're not really in touch, you know, and we don't know what's going on. But let me tell you, we do, you know. And it's important for you, if you're going to become a force for God amongst his people, you grab as much of the experience of the older generation as you possibly can. You grab it. Because it will stand you in good stead, and you stick by them. You stick by them. Because they've seen most of it before. And they've seen most of it already. So that's the first thing I noticed. And I think we've spoken about Elisha and the young men before. You remember the incident of the axe head. Do you remember that? Well, the young men came to Elisha and said, "Come on, Elisha, let's get out of here. You know, we want to move on." And Elisha said, in great wisdom in some ways, because I don't know that I would have been there. Elisha said, "Well, okay, you go." The young men said, "No, but you need to come with us, Elisha. You need to come with us." And together they moved forward. And Elisha needed the young men to cut down the trees because he hadn't the power to wield the axe anymore. But the young men needed Elisha to raise the axe head from the water because they didn't know how to deal with that. And so they needed each other. And so Joshua stuck by Moses. The second thing I noticed, and it's in Exodus 33. When Moses established the tabernacle outside the camp, and the people were moving in and out from the camp to the tabernacle, from the tabernacle to the camp, and even Moses was moving from the tabernacle to the camp and the camp to the tabernacle. What does it say about Joshua? It says about Joshua in Exodus 33 and 11, he departed not from the tabernacle. He departed not from the tabernacle. So when the people came to lay their morning sacrifice, Joshua was there. And when they came to do their evening sacrifice, Joshua was there. And when they came on Monday evening, Joshua was there. When they came on Tuesday evening, Joshua was there. When they came on Thursday morning, Joshua was there. When they came on Friday evening, Joshua was there. He departed not out of the tabernacle. Young brethren and sisters, if you're going to be a force for God amongst his people, you'll need to be the kind of people that are always there. You can't lead God's people remotely. If you're going to be a force for God amongst his people, you'll need to be the kind of people that are always there. Now I'm guessing Joshua got tired sometimes, because he was a man of light passions like the rest of us. And I'm assuming Joshua got tired. But whether he was tired or not, he departed not from the tabernacle. And I just want to lay that challenge with you. The third thing I notice about Joshua is, and it's Numbers 14, and that is that he took time to understand God's purposes regarding the possession of the land. He rehearses in Numbers 14 what God has in mind for his people. And he says, don't rebel against it. You know, God's got it there for you. And he just wants us to go with him. And he wants us to possess the land. And he took time to understand God's purposes regarding the possession of the land. And if you're going to be a force for God amongst his people, you'll have to get to understand God's purposes for his people. And the only way to get to understand God's purposes for his people is to immerse yourself in the book that you have in your hand. It's the only way to immerse yourself and before him to seek out his purposes for ways forward. You know, industry talks today about, we'll need to plan way forward. It's a great way forward. You need to understand God's purposes for his people. And so that's the kind of man, and that's the kind of thing that Joshua did to prepare himself to lead God's people. He stuck by the man that had experience. He was a man that was always in the tabernacle. Always. He was a man that took time to understand God's purposes for his people. Just briefly to finish, what kind of man does he need to be? What kind of man is Joshua? Now, there are about four or five things here, but we've only got time just to think maybe about one of them, you know. Numbers 27 says, you look out Joshua, you know, you find him, you look him out, and you set him forward as the man to take over from you. He's a man in whom the Spirit is. He's a man in whom the Spirit is. He was a spiritual man. And if you're going to be a force for God amongst God's people, you'll have to be a spiritual man. You'll have to be a spiritual woman. Paul speaks in Romans and in Corinthians about those that are carnal. Those that mind fleshly things, whose mind thinks in a carnal way, in a fleshly way. And Paul says on more than one occasion, that doesn't work among God's people because it's enmity against God. And so what we need to be for a spiritual work is spiritual people with spiritual desires and spiritual intuition and spiritual understanding. It's only the spiritual that understands the things of God. And so he was a man in whom the Spirit was. He was a man that was filled with the Spirit of wisdom. I think he's the only man of whom that is said in the whole of the Old Testament. He was full of the Spirit of wisdom. He's the only man that's said about in the whole of the Old Testament. Now, he wasn't full of the Spirit in that sense, but he was full of something, you know. And he was full of divine wisdom and understanding. He was full of the Spirit of wisdom. He was the man that James speaks about that had the wisdom that was from above. And I tell you, brethren and sisters of the next generation, taking God's people forward, is going to require you to have God's wisdom. It's going to require you to have spiritual insight. And it's only those that are Spirit-led that will effectively be a force for God amongst his people. And that's what Joshua was. He was a number of other things, and I'm finished. He was a man of the book, Joshua 1. He was a man of the book. The book of the Lord didn't depart from him. He was in it day and night. He was a man of the book. He was a man of strong character and backbone who wasn't afraid to say to the people what they needed to hear, you know. And he said it to them on more than one occasion. Don't rebel. Here's what God wants. Here's what we're going to do. And they were ready to stone him for that. Numbers 14, they were ready to stone him for that. But despite that, he says, don't rebel. And we'll move forward for God. And he was a man of the book, and he was a man of action. Joshua chapter 1 verse 11 says, listen to this now, 40 years they'd been in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness. Listen to what Joshua says. Go and put your packed lunch together, for in 3 days, 3 days you're going to enter the land. So he was a man of action. There is sometimes a lethargy about my generation that just dithers about, you know. But Joshua was a man of action. And he knew what God wanted the people to do. He knew where God wanted the people to go. He had been given the responsibility under God's hand to take the people forward. And in that confidence and in that faith in God, he said to the people, get your victuals together, for in 3 days we're going to possess the land. And over he went. My, would that not be great? To see the generation that are sitting there now, just saying to God's people, we know what God wants us to do, why don't we just go and do it? You know, and move forward, and to be able to take God's people into all of the blessings that God has prepared for them. You know, and they're there for the taking. Caleb and Joshua both said, we are well able to take it. Well able to take it. So that was the last in the series, I suppose, you know. What Moses did for Joshua, what Joshua did for himself, and the kind of man that Joshua needed to be. And there's a challenge for every stage in development in the room today. There's a challenge for every stage, that we fulfill what is required of us in order to encourage and help God's people to enjoy the things that God has for them. Shall we pray together? Our Father, we bow together in thy presence. We thank thee for this time that we've been able to spend. We thank thee for these wonderful moments in the life of thy people of old, and for these two great men. And we pray simply that we might be helped in our day and generation to understand something of their character and the kind of people they were, and to seek in our own day and generation to bring to bear some of the principles that they employed in the development of God's people. So we commend ourselves to thee as we seek thy blessing. We pray for our sister Doris in particular. We pray that you will be with her tomorrow and grant her to know your peace and help those that will care for her. Pray for George as well, and thank thee that he is improving, and we pray that thou wilt help him to understand what he needs to do to move forward. And so we commit ourselves to thee as we seek thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.